Thank you, Yoel. Years ago, and I do mean years, when I had two strong knees, boundless energy, and an empty mind, empty head, I should say, a day at the beach meant a whole day in the ocean. That doesn't mean that now. When I go to the beach, I just sit on the side. But when I was a kid, I used to go in the ocean and attempt to ride the waves in via a boogie board. Now, I remember vividly one time we're in San Diego and my dad said, listen, go have fun, but pick a landmark and keep your eye on it because you're going to drift. Well, in one ear, out the other. I didn't really listen to what he was saying. I was like, whatever. I've got waves to dominate. I've got fun to have, and I'm not going to worry about drifting. And so from there, I started to fight the waves. My attention was focused on each wave as it came. I didn't want to get blindsided or knocked underwater. If I wasn't far enough out, I'd try to jump over the wave. As it came, I would float over the wave. Other times, I would go under the wave. I would wait five or six waves to try to catch the right one and ride it into shore. And I would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then as it happens, I realize, oh, it feels like I haven't eaten in 7 days. All of a sudden, I'm starved. So I rode the last wave in. I'm ravenously hungry. And I came to shore, and my family had disappeared. They were gone, and I thought they had left me. I looked to my right, and I looked to my left, and way down in the distance to my right, about a half mile away, was the lifeguard station that I had started at. And so I had to grab my boogie board and walk all the way back down. And I had gone out. From my perspective, I was just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in the water. But I had drifted about a half a mile without even knowing it, without even perceiving it. I wonder if something similar might be happening with some of us. As Christians, maybe somewhere over the last couple of years, or even before that, we started to drift. Nothing dramatic, nothing catastrophic, nothing showy, no alarm bells. You're not even able to tell because back and forth in your life, you just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But maybe, you're starting to wonder, am I drifting? A slow, imperceptible, almost impossible to perceive drift. Today, my goal for this sermon is for us to stumble ashore and get our bearings and check our landmarks. And we're going to do this by processing one question. Am I, or we, or you, more or less connected to God and others than a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Are you more or less connected to the Lord and other believers in your church than you were? Or are you connected the way you want to? If you are less connected, that could be a sign that you're drifting. Are you connected to God and others in your church? Now, I don't bring this to your attention to make you feel bad. I am not connected to the Lord and others as I want to be. We all drift. We all drift. Maybe it started back in the pandemic and you just got used to staying home. You got used to being alone. You got used to having meetings canceled. You got used to not getting out much. Now you can shop groceries at home. Amazon can bring everything you need. You can work at home now. And you're just more disconnected. You're not mad. You're not bitter. You're not lonely. You're not sad. It just happened. It just happened. But today what we're going to do is we're not going to so much look at one passage of the Bible like we typically do. Today, I'm proposing that we look and ask ourselves, what do we want to be in 2023? And I'm proposing for us that as a church, that our focus this year is to reconnect. more dangerous than we typically think to be disconnected. When we're disconnected from God and each other, we put ourselves in grave peril. And when we drift, we never drift toward a greater connection to God and others. We never drift toward devotion to Jesus. We never drift toward taking risks for his kingdom. We never drift into fighting godliness. We never drift into caring more about spiritual things. We never drift into killing sin. We never drift into loving Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have to choose to reconnect daily, weekly, monthly to do that. See, we must reconnect both to God and to each other so that we might together encounter God. See, that's what we need, all of us in this room, everybody here, everyone who can hear the sound of my voice, me at the front of the line. We need to daily, weekly, reconnect to God, reconnect to each other in order that we might encounter God together. So let's do it. Let's reconnect together to encounter God. Before we do, let's pray. Lord, I need your help. You know this. I always need your help when I get up to preach. You know, Lord, that I don't like preaching when there's not a text. Lord, but I do believe this is what you've led us to do. And I pray that you would help me to be faithful to communicate your truth this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would come by your Spirit with your power and impact all of us. Awaken those of us that are drifting. Encourage those of us who are not. Challenge those of us who don't think you really matter. Lord, in a word, do your work. In your name we pray. Amen. So let's reconnect together so that we might encounter God. How? I have three suggestions. First, we have a daily suggestion, a weekly suggestion, and a monthly suggestion. Daily, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Now, what we need, all of us, is to hear from the Lord on a daily basis. The Bible we have, the Scriptures, is not a book like any other book. This is the only book that has the very words of God. About what other book can it be said? All Scripture, which is Genesis to Revelation, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Just as God breathed life into Adam and Eve at creation, he continues to breathe life into us as we daily read his word. Only the word of God is life-giving. Only the word of God is a feast for us daily. We must read the Bible on a daily basis. This is a call to daily Bible reading. Now you might think, that sounds legalistic. Let me ask you this. Would it be legalistic for someone to suggest that you take water on a hike in the summer in the desert? Imagine the conversation. You're heading out at noon, and your Apple phone says it's going to be 112. And you decide it's a great day to take a walk in the desert alone. I'm going to go on a hike. And someone says, hey, you better take some water. And you say, I don't want to be legalistic about water. I'll grab some water if I have some time. I'm busy. It's hard to find time to get water. And drinking can be such a chore. Sometimes I don't feel like I get very much out of it. I just drink, and then I have to drink again. And it's drinking, and it's drinking, and it's only just drinking. And honestly, I see people posting themselves drinking water on Instagram, and that's enough. Now, would it be legalistic to suggest that before you embark on a hike in the desert, in the intense heat, that you take water? No. Why? Because it's a matter of life and death. You could literally die. Friends, more important than water on a desert hike is the word of God to your soul. Far more important. We need to feed our souls daily with the water of the word. Psalm 119 says, "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law," or your instruction. There are wondrous things in this book if we look. Now, some of us are used to reading the Bible on a daily basis. Wonderful, wonderful, keep it up, go. Others of us aren't, and we can feel like, man, I don't even know where to start. Sometimes the hardest part is just getting going, and it's so tempting to come up with this plan. I'm going to read 20 chapters in a day, and then all of a sudden, it's January 3rd, and you read 4. And so, what we need to do is just start. And for the sake of all that is pure and beautiful, don't start in Leviticus. The Bible reading plan we've put together, this isn't going to take you through the whole Bible, but it's going to help you read the Bible every day. Right? It's going to help you read the Bible every day. If you read this, you're going to read all of the New Testament. You're going to read all of the Psalms. You're going to read all of Genesis in a year. Now, maybe you're on the McShane plan. Great. Have fun. Just don't feel like you're better than all the rest of us. You can just read this and just start the process of taking in the Scriptures. Just start. And the goal I have, and maybe this will be helpful to you, is to, when I read the Bible, take one chunk away, one thing away from the Bible reading for that day, right? And sometimes, well, if you look at this plan, today the Bible reading is Genesis 8, 1 through 12, and that's the passage that talks about the water subsiding after the flood, and we've got talks of ravens and doves and stuff like that. That I can take away not much. But Matthew 10, chapter 21 through 42, Jesus speaks of discipleship in the face of persecution and trouble. And in this world, we will have trouble. He says in verse 39, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, there we go. That's something we can pull throughout the day. That's something we can put in our pocket, and we can say, how can I, in just a little bit, how can I just in a little way lose my life for Jesus today? Just in small ways. Maybe it's asking questions instead of giving opinions. Maybe it's encouraging instead of complaining. Maybe it's being financially generous. Maybe it's just smiling. Maybe it's turning off the TV or stopping, not looking on the reels of Instagram. Maybe it's serving someone else. Maybe it's talking to somebody who's lonely. Maybe it's talking about Jesus with an unbeliever. Maybe it's to start to tithe, or maybe it's to cook a meal for someone. I don't know, but I do know this. All of us have ways in which we can lose our life for Jesus on a daily basis. See, that's what the Scriptures do. They feed us. They feed us in a way that nothing else can. So my suggestion for us this year is that we reconnect on a daily basis with God through His Word. We reconnect on a daily basis with God through His Word. Because the Bible is not just true, and it's not just the standard of all truth. The Bible is alive. It is living and active. Watch as you read it. Watch the Lord work through the Scriptures as you take them in. Even if you can't memorize your address or your phone number. To this day, I literally don't know the streets that are outside my own street. I don't know them. I'm not good at remembering things like that, but I can take an idea and pull it with me through the day. Even if you can't memorize, just read. Reconnect daily by reading the Bible. So let's reconnect together so that we might encounter God daily through His Word. How about weekly? Weekly. Here's something radical I'm going to suggest. Weekly, come to church. Weekly, come to church. Now, obviously, there are times we can't come to church. That's why we record our meetings. That's why we have a live stream. There are some who are ill and cannot come, and I'm not wanting to heap guilt. I get that. But there is no better recipe for long-term spiritual health than consistently attending church in person. And it can be hard, and it's not convenient. Let's just say that. It's not convenient. I remember way back, seems like years ago, I guess it is years ago now, but in 2020 when we were all shut down and we only had the live stream, I would preach on Thursday to an empty room, but it was over, right? I'm like, boom, that's in the can. Friday and Saturday are going to be fun. And when Sunday came, it was slow and it was relaxed. It was pretty sweet. The kids weren't fighting. I didn't have to get off my couch. I didn't even have to take a shower or change out of my pajamas. I didn't have to comb my hair. I didn't have to shave. I didn't even have to leave the dogs at home. They could join us. And it was nice. I told Tiff, I could get used to this. I finally understand what this lazy Sunday morning, all those lazy Sunday morning songs are about now. But I think we need to reconnect with Jesus together week by week as we gather. Why do we need to gather? We need to remember why we gather. There are many reasons we could point to. We could think about how we need other people, and we do. We could remind ourselves that we're not the only ones who believe that this Jesus is worth living and dying for. That's what we celebrate. That's our anthem as we come together on a weekly basis. We could remind ourselves that his purposes are bigger than our purposes, that it's your will be done, not my will be done. We could remind ourselves that we need weekly to sing about the grace and mercy and love of God. We could talk about those things, but I'm going to point something else out as we think about reconnecting week to week. It's in Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 17. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, that's plural, not just one person, all of you, who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself in one new man or new person in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Did you catch that? Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Who is the he here? That's Jesus. It's clear from the context. So who is Paul writing to? Is he writing to people who lived in Judea or in Jerusalem? No, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. Now, have you read in any of the four Gospels the time that Jesus took the 615 and a quarter mile walk from Jerusalem to Ephesus? Have you read that in the Gospels? No? Good. Because if you have, that's not the Gospels. It's not there. So what's Paul talking about? The gospel message of peace that came to the people of Ephesus via the messengers sent by Jesus, primarily Paul, when Paul preached peace that's available through Christ, there is a sense that Jesus himself was proclaiming that peace. That's what he means by, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off. Now, what does that have to do with us? When the scriptures are preached, there's a sense in which Jesus himself is preaching. Now, you might think, that's kind of weird because we know you do most of the preaching. Imagine how I feel. This is a big bait and switch. If I'd have known this was the reality, I'd have never done this. Like, if I had to go back in time to say to my 25-year-old self who didn't have any gray hair and had two good knees, I'd say, listen, bro, don't. Don't. Why? Because look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. I wouldn't have signed up. Kind of feels like a bait and switch. But there is a sense in which when a faithful, though not perfect, preacher preaches the word, Jesus himself speaks. And friends, we need that on a weekly basis. Now, obviously, not everything the preacher says is infallible. He can proclaim things like, lo and behold, casseroles are sin. That's not infallible, though it's wise. We can't say, well, since Jesus is speaking through me, it must be true. No, that is not true. Rather, as long as the preacher preaches truth, Jesus is speaking through him. We need this on a weekly basis. Just don't misunderstand. This isn't about the preacher and his ability. Praise God. It is about Christ, who delights to use the weak and stumbling, fumbling, foolish dolts like me to proclaim his truth. And we need to hear from him weekly, together, in person. When we gather on Sundays, it's not just that we reconnect to one another, and we do, and we should, but also, we reconnect to Jesus himself. Just because we're not able to see Jesus physically does not mean he isn't here. The presence of God in Christ is always, always with us when we gather in his name. Always. This is why we must regularly come to church. We're not often going to feel like much happened. It's going to seem, on Sundays, most times, routine and normal. But it is through the routine of Sunday mornings that eternal destinies are shaped. When we gather together, Jesus, friends, is here, and we need to hear from him. One author says, when Jesus says he is there, he does not mean he's hovering like a mystical fog in the room. He means the gathering, like us, represents him, and it speaks for him. It bears his authority. He identifies with it as if they were flying his flag. Listen, I understand that while a church is a people and not a gathering, they're two different things, a church shows itself to be a church by gathering together. A church shows itself to be a church by gathering together. Now, you might think, again, that sounds a little bit legalistic. Let's think about it this way. Imagine, it's playoff time in the NFL. Imagine a football team that was a team in every sense of the word, but they practiced together. They had meals together. They had the same coach. They ran the same drills. They sported even the same uniforms. They had matching helmets. They lived in the same city. But imagine that football team saying, we're a football team whether we gather together for games or not. What kind of football team would that be? A team that forfeits a lot of games. The same is true for us as we gather. It's not all we do, not by any stretch of the imagination, but it does define who we are. And it is the most important thing. You see, as Americans, we're chronically apt to think that most of the encounters we have with God are going to happen while we're alone. But according to the pages of the New Testament, God manifests his special presence amongst his people when they gather. And this reorientation is necessary because we don't just need information. We need weekly convincing that Jesus is real and that he's worth living for. And that's different than listening to worship music in your car, praying at home, or having coffee with a close friend, or watching The Chosen, or having a walk in the forest, or having 2 hours alone in a quiet house just to think. Those things are fine, and they can be life-giving, but they do not replace our need to gather and hear from Christ. Each week, the Spirit forcefully reminds us that we have every reason to worship God through Christ. It is more important than we would normally think. We need to encounter God. In the old cathedrals, if you've ever been to them, they were created with high ceilings so that when people would walk in, they would look up. And there would inspire awe. Today, many churches look to inspire awe by ways of highly produced meetings or the production quality of their service. Our goal is to get a sense of awe, not through technological miracles or impressiveness, but through the Word of God. See, our goal is to ensure that God's Word has its say in His church here. It's easy, relatively, to put on a good show and have people walk away and say, that was amazing. It's hard to have ordinary Sundays after ordinary Sundays after ordinary Sundays go by and still think they're important. But we need each week to encounter God. See, it's not for no reason that the scriptures say that we as Christians live by faith and not by sight. If we lived by sight, we'd run into angels in this room. Hey, Gabriel, how's your week? Hey, Mr. Scary Cherubim with the sword, you go over there. We don't see fire, hear lightning. There's no smoke. Seraphs don't touch our lips with burning coals. It seems normal. It seems average. It seems routine. It seems run-of-the-mill. But it's in the run-of-the-mill, ordinary times when we gather that God works. It's in those week-to-week gatherings when we hear from Jesus. And He just builds our faith to fight one more day. Or to take one more step. Or to be built up even though we just got laid off. Or to have hope in life even though we face death. Or to have sturdy promises to stand on in a world that is like sand and full of lies. Or maybe a stinging rebuke when we begin to slide away. We need a rousing call at times to when we think money is the most important thing in our lives. Or sometimes we need the gentle reminder that His love is surer than the sunrise. Or that we can trust Him even when life goes sideways. Even just the assurance that evil, though it is everywhere, will not have the final say. See, that's the kind of thing, when we gather together, those are the kind of things that we rehearse and that we remember. And you know what, friends? We need this weekly. We need this. We need to encounter God. So let's reconnect. Let's reconnect together to encounter God daily as we read the Word, weekly as we go to church, monthly as we reach toward an unbeliever. I only have a few moments in this last point. But friends, we live in a world of people who are groping in the darkness. And if something doesn't change, they will live in the horrible outer darkness for all eternity. We have a duty, an obligation, to share the hope that we have with unbelievers in our lives. The duty we have to unbelievers in our lives is real. We owe a debt to them. We don't have to convince them to vote our way or to have an organic diet or to have a certain vaccine philosophy or school philosophy or political philosophy. We don't have to give them economic advice. They can go any other place for that. But they can't get the gospel other places. That's for us. The people who are in your lives that are unbelievers need you to tell them about Jesus. You know what? As you do, though, guess what? That's going to help you reconnect with God. You know, I've talked to so many people. I started evangelizing. I didn't think I knew enough. I said something. The Lord was there. I was amazed. Friends, we don't know enough. They're going to ask questions we can't answer. That's okay. That's okay. But if we're friends with them, we can, at one point in the future, share the gospel. And I'll tell you what, it's scary. It scares me. Late last year, I was convicted that I wasn't in enough unbelievers' lives. So I prayed for opportunities, and the Lord has given me two. I reached out to someone who I know is intellectual, and I said, hey, you like to read, I like to read, let's swap books. You read a book I want to read, let's talk about it. I'll read a book you want to read, let's talk about it. Now, my secret undercover goal is, it all connects to Jesus, and I'm going to show him that. But right now, it's philosophy, which is great. He agreed. I went first. Boom. The other person I had a meal with, and he said, I sat down with him, and he said, it's scary, he said, I'm in a committed polyamorous relationship, and we just celebrated our one-year anniversary. Now, I didn't ask if there was a Hallmark card for that. But it's not something Jesus can't help us with, right? I mean, there may be things that we face that other generations haven't had to face before. That's not too much for our Lord. Is it? No. My goodness, stepping out in faith to share the gospel message that has changed our lives forever. Watch and see what God might do. I'll tell you this, when we're connected to the Lord daily in the Word and connected to the body and the Lord on a weekly basis, we're going to be much more likely to want to get out there and share this gospel with people who don't know it. We're going to be energetic. We're going to feel like when we sit across the table with someone and they say something we didn't anticipate, when they are confused about their gender or they're confused about this or they're confused about that, we're going to feel as we sit there across the table from someone, we're going to feel like a whole church is at our back. And the Spirit of God, because guess what? It's true. That's what's happening. So do you have an unbeliever you can reconnect to? If you don't, it's an opportunity. Start by praying for opportunities. Start by praying for people to come to you that you can build a relationship with, a friendship. Now, let me just give a little bit of friendship advice. We Christians can be a weird lot, right? Make friends with unbelievers, and you don't have to share the gospel every time you talk to them. Right? You're talking about football, and guess what? Your only hope in life and in death is in Jesus Christ. Go Vikings, right? You don't have to do that. Or what would you like to eat? Let's go to this restaurant. Your only hope in life and death is Jesus Christ. We don't have to do that. We can be normal. I think one of the things we as Christians should do when it comes to befriending unbelievers is go forth and not be weird. Go forth and be normal, right? You can talk about normal things. And guess what? If they say something heretical, it's okay. Heretics are going to be heretical. And we don't have to correct them. We don't have to go, actually, Jesus was uncreated. He was begotten, not made. You know, or whatever. We don't have to do that. We can just take a breath. Heretics are going to heretic. And we have time. And so our opportunity is just to pray for people. We try to connect on a weekly basis. If it's a text, if it's a conversation, if it's even just a passing comment or two in the hallway at work. What if we all took the opportunity to take the message that we have that has changed our lives forever and connected with an unbeliever? Just one. Each of us. Just one. What if we just each of us did that and prayed that the Lord would open a door so that we could share of the hope that we have in Christ? Just one. Each of us. What if we had to schedule special baptism Sundays? Because people are getting saved left, right, and center. What if we encountered God in powerful ways as we shared his gospel? What if? See, I think this is our call for us here today to check our landmark. Have we drifted? I'm not talking, do I feel connected? We never feel connected, right? We take steps to connect ourselves. And so we connect daily to the Word, weekly by coming to church, monthly to unbelievers. What might God do in 2023? I don't know, but I want to find out. Over 400 years ago, there was a man named John Rogers. He ministered in a tiny little English hamlet called Dedham. D-E-D-H-A-N. Men and women from all over that area would say, come, let us go to Dedham and fetch a little fire. And by fire, they meant the fact that they encountered God when they heard Rogers expound God's word. We have no John Rogers here. We're not in Dedham, but we have the same scriptures. We have the same Lord. We have the same Spirit. We have the same gospel. And we have the same opportunity week by week. What if we expected, or even more, we prayed that we would encounter God, and we said, let's go to church today and let's fetch a little fire. Let's reconnect. And let's find out. Join me as I pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to fetch a little fire daily, weekly, monthly. Lord, we need to encounter you. Lord, our experience, my experience of you is not what I want it to be. And Lord, I pray that as we read your word and as we gather on Sunday and as we share your gospel, I pray that you would help us to be people who say, whoa, God is so real. Lord, it's so tempting just to think that what's real is my job tomorrow. It's my debts that weigh over my head. It's my sickness. It's the bad feeling I carry around. It's this or it's that. Lord, those things are real. Those things are significant, but those things are not our most pressing need. Our most pressing need is to encounter you. And so, Lord, we know you're not hiding. You have given us the means to encounter you through your word. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us as a church together to reconnect and encounter you daily as we read your word, weekly as we come together expecting to encounter you, praying to encounter you, monthly as we reach out to those who do not know you. And Lord, may it be that we can fetch a little fire this year. We're utterly dependent on you. But we're ready to take risks. We're ready to step out. We're ready to meet and encounter you, Lord. Bless us, we pray, with that. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.